Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Jemima is back out for Carolina. The center wraps a puck into the league zone. Erickson back there. And McGillney takes it from him. Throws it behind the net. Master Jack intercepted. Center back. They score! Celebration mode now for Shore. The building is shocked, and Carolina will go on to the Stanley Cup championship.
One thing I remember is just the sound of that arena. I love listening to the sound of that arena when that happened, just how quiet it is. All you can hear is our guys, you know, whooping it up. That's a special moment. It really is.
Curtis Joseph played a tremendous game again this evening. Carolina had 35 shots. They won it in overtime.
Here's Jeff O'Neill, who gave the Hurricanes the 1-0 lead. For a young guy from King City, who grew up cheering for the Leafs, how does it feel to finish them off tonight?
It's a great feeling. It was a tough game tonight. They scored again with 20 seconds left. And you start to question yourself, but I'm real happy with the effort guys put forth tonight. It was a solid team win.
Is there a void when you look back in your career, no Stanley Cup in Toronto, and just how good it would have been?
I would have loved to win a Stanley Cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's no doubt about that.
The Leafs, gallant effort. Gallant try. And this playoff here is over.
It is Sportsfeld Storytime. We are talking about the 2002 Toronto Maple Leafs playoff run. Unfortunately, it ended in the previous episode. It's a couple bad giveaways in Game 6. And TSN Overdrive's Jeff O'Neill there to put the nail in the coffin. Not for the game winner, but he is everywhere in this series. That sort of wrapped up... Obviously, it didn't sort of wrap up. It wrapped up the 2002... team, the closest they got to a Stanley Cup win. As we sort of alluded to, we think they probably would have got fed pretty handily by the Detroit Red Wings, because the 2002 Red Wings were stacked.
Yes.
But in the next couple of years, we saw this team, and I actually, looking back at this, pretty impressed with the decisions they made to sort of fix up what they were lacking. I don't know about you, but as much as the last team, the 2002 team, did feel like the emblematic, quintessential early 2000s Toronto team, I think the methodology for the next wave of moves did make sense, if you agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like this, if you like transactions, the 2003-2004 Toronto Maple Leafs are like transaction heaven. Not only were they like pretty decent moves, more or less, they were the most fun transactions I can remember from, and I guess until like the 2015 Jays. Like these teams were just constantly moving parts. Like in the offseason, they traded Yaskevich for Robert Svela, who I really liked.
Man, I liked Robert Svela.
I loved it. I remember in, I think it was, the must have been the 2003 playoffs, he got stitches on the bench He got like cut in the face, and it was the playoff game, and it got that like, that's a hockey player narrative of just like this shot of him literally getting stitched up on the bench and then hopping over the boards to play more.
Was, oh, that is a hockey player.
That is a hockey player.
Actually,
they sent our favorite Bob Wren to Nashville for Nathan Parrott in March of 2003, which seems unbelievable based on everything we've just said. They traded Alan McCauley, Brad Boys, and a first round pick for Owen Nolan, which I wanted to be Ziggy Palfy, but ended up being Owen Nolan.
They Brad Boys, what you gonna do?
That deadline is a legendary Leafs trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
The two days before the deadline, they trade a second round pick to Carolina for the aforementioned Glenn Wesley, who also had a lame helmet. And then on the deadline, they trade a ninth round pick and a fourth round pick to Chicago for Phil Housley. And of course, the legendary trade of a sixth round pick to Montreal for 9 seconds of Doug Gilmore. The final 9 seconds of Doug Gilmore.
When I tell you, now I would even say I was more excited about the next deadline, but
me too,
I was
me too.
Certain going to get Gilmore meant they were winning the cup.
I very much still believe that if he doesn't get hurt, they win the cup that year.
You also buried that they got rid of Cujo.
They did, and brought in Eddie Belfour. They brought in Tom Fitzgerald and Trevor Kidd. Somehow waived Harold Druckin. They claimed Harold Druckin on waivers, then put him on waivers, and then traded for him. So a weird year for Harold Druckin on the Maple Leafs.
That year, McGillney led the team in points. He had 33 goals. He had 79 points in 73 games. Sundin scored 37. He was excellent. Again, Coverley really ascended as the like no question number one guy. He was that before, but it was like he used 25 minutes a game. He was constant. Nick Antropov played 72 games that season. Everyone remembers Nick Antropov. You got
of course
Nick
Antropov. Antropov and Ponikarovsky. Those are the
he
guys.
Would become, I think, bigger the next year, and which is probably reason why I like the next year's team even more. But there is, like, if you look at the bottom of this 2002-2003, the guys who play just a handful of games, as you mentioned, Doug Gilmore played one, but you see guys like Carlo Koliakovo played two games, Matt Stajan played in this season, he played one game, scored in one game, one goal, 19 years old.
Damn.
As well, Ponikarovsky, as you said, he played 13 games. So you see the beginning of some of the guys that would come to define the very, very bad teams. Those guys that were not very good. But that team, who I had the highest of high expectations for, I thought they were going to be better than the year before, even though everyone's a year older. And you know, Shane Corson's 36 and stuff like that. Jurke Lume, 36 years old, playing a lot. Gary Roberts only played 14 games, 36 years old. Ed Belfour, 37 years old. McGillney, 33 years old. Shvela, 34 years old. I thought, this is it. This is the team. This is the year. But they lost in 7 to the Philadelphia Flyers, which was, you want to talk about, like, I was heartbroken by this.
Me too.
Sure, they were a better team than the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, I also thought that. The 2004 Toronto Maple Leafs finished second in the division by 1 point behind the Boston Bruins. And I remember thinking, if they had just finished second and gotten the Canadiens in the first round, who the Bruins did lose to, and then to have the bit of the easier path with this team, of course, then we got the final installation of the Battle of Ontario that year, which of course also won 7 games.
Yes.
03-04 also home to the legendary Brian Leetch trade.
Yes. You want to talk about a trade deadline?
Brian Leetch's first game as a Maple Leaf is to this day still one of my favorite Maple Leaf games of all time.
Freaking out. They got Brian Leetch, they get Ron Francis. They added Joe Nieuwendyk in the offseason, by the way. giving us the skyline of Antropov, Ponikarovsky, and Nieuwendyk, which was one of my favorite lines in Maple Leafs history. Just three really tall guys. Why didn't anybody think of that before?
I remember, and like, I think in Brian Leetch's first game, he scored twice. And I feel like they were, I remember there was a power play near the end of the game and McCabe just kept feeding him over and over again for him to get the third goal in his first game. And I just remember freaking out, and it was the best, eating bagel bites or something.
0304 again, Matt Sundin, your leader. McGillney had a knee injury, had season shut down after just 37 games. McCabe, second on the team in scoring. He was 53 points in 75 games. Doesn't that seem crazy?
That does, especially for, like, not only is it Ryan McCabe, but just, like, the concept of how scoring worked then. Maybe the lockout was a good idea.
Yeah. Joe Nieuwendyk, third in the team in scoring. Gary Roberts, Owen Nolan each had 48 points. Tucker scored 20. So this was my favorite team, I think, of that era, because they had a mix of really big veteran names, and they made a push at the deadline. And they really, not that they were, you know, they didn't lean on those young guys, but they gave Antropov and Pronikorovsky and Stajan a real shot to earn their way, and relied on them and played them a lot. So it was a really likable team. And I think, you know, 0304, right before the lockout, I think that is the team that I, 103 points, like, everything lined up. I really thought that was the best team they put together.
I thought so too. And I think that's my favorite of the Battle of Ontario's, I think, as well.
Yes.
With Nieuwendyk softies in game 7.
Gets the pass away. They get it up to center ice. Nieuwendyk is striding in there for Toronto. And the score!
Yeah, you want to talk about fun Battle of Ontario. The two Joe Nieuwendyk goals in the first period of that game, just like, that's it. That's the end of the Battle of Ontario.
Yeah.
It's over. And that was every reason, if you're an Ottawa fan, to be like, as much as we talked in the previous month about how, like, you would think this was the year. They were an 102-point team. They were stacked. All the guys that were pretty good 2 years ago were now legitimate stars. Hossa was 25. Havlat was 22. Chara, 26. Like, their best players at their best in their primes. And it did not matter. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that was a real... That one or the Sundin Ping one, I think, are my two favorites.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. here, I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So they lost in seven to the Philadelphia Flyers, which was, you want to talk about, like, I was heartbroken by this. I was sure they were a better team than the Philadelphia Flyers.
I remember that overtime goal as being like, you want to talk turn off the TV goals? That's the Roenick goal is the turn off the TV goal of all turn off the TV goals.
That was like, if you decided after the Roenick goal, you never wanted to watch hockey again, I would have not blamed you for a second.
Well, the good news is if you're in Toronto, you didn't have to the next year. So
where do we go from here? I mean, I suppose to the lockout. I remember the lockout quite well. It was my freshman year in college, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
So didn't watch any hockey my first year in college. I remember very well the day that it came back because I believe the Leafs got Lindros, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I think you're right.
But what, you know, you would have been 15, I think 15, 16 years old. What were your thoughts about the versions of this team, a couple 100-point teams, a couple deep playoff runs that we saw before the lockout and what we saw after? Because I remember coming home from college for Christmas and sort of the buzz around that summer around sort of which teams were in the worst shape when the lockout lifted. And I remember every panelist being like, well, the Maple Leafs, as good as they were, like the salary cap and their ages, they're going to be in a lot of trouble coming up. And boy, they were right.
But I do remember they missed the playoffs by 2 points that season. But there was just a sense of, oh, maybe they're not good enough with these veterans anymore.
Jason Allison.
Yeah, there was I remember the first shootout with Jason Allison and just being the slowest man possible.
He'll never live that down, that fucking shootout attempt.
But like when it is sort of a good representation of that team that year of like coming off all these playoff excitements with this veteran team. And then it's like, oh, maybe they're not going to, maybe this strategy of just adding veterans all the time and never trying to develop skill or get younger isn't going to work in the new NHL and also NA NHL.
32-year-old Eric Lindros on that. Jeff O'Neill, as you mentioned, joined the team.
2 years in a row there, they missed the playoffs by 2 points and missed the playoffs by 1 point the next year.
Ugh.
And then
brutal.
It was really bad for a long time after that.
You get Kyle Wellwood, you get Ian White that next year, Kolejko. But yeah, they're a 90-point team, and then they add Paul Maurice, and they're a 91-point team.
I was so excited about Paul Maurice.
Well, yeah, he had just been basically single-handedly responsible for knocking them out of the playoffs. Not single-handedly. That's ridiculous. But you with it, it becomes, they be like, you can see in 06-07, the first year under Maurice, they have Bates Battaglia and Jeff O'Neill, and they've started to bring over all the guys from their most recent successful run. Oh, the goaltending. Raycroft, Aubin, and Tellqvist. Oh.
And then Toskala, I think, after that. Just.
Right.
Yeah, it just didn't. I don't know what the plan for those teams was, to be honest. To this day, I'll never understand the late 2000s Maple Leafs.
I mean, we roll forward to the Jason Blake year, 07-08.
Of course.
Ugh.
Ugh is right.
We roll forward, Ron Wilson, 2008-2009. The Jeff Finger edition. Martin Gerber, remember that? Luke Shen. Mikhail Grabowski. Christian Hansen. We're remembering guys. Cujo at 41 years old. 41-year-old Cujo played a handful of games in 2008-2009. He was not good. He played 21 games, 3.57, 869 save percentage. Justin Pogge.
Justin Pogge, man.
7 games that year.
He was going to be it.
Well, so was, yeah. Well, he was, Pogge is the reason they felt capable of trading away Tuukka Rask.
That's right.
Still a very good goaltender to this day, years later.
Yes, has beat us several, three times now in the playoffs.
One last round of remembering some guys from this team. Tim Stapleton, Nicholas Hagman, Lee Stempniak. Oh, boy.
I like Nicholas Hagman. I was excited for that addition until he started playing for us.
I'll tell you how old I am. I was blogging about the team by this point.
Wow.
That's how far ahead we are.
Yeah, these teams were like, I'm barely watching this, bad.
Andre DeVoe, yeah. They were a 81-point team, did not play very well. And then they bottomed out the next year, 74 points.
And they didn't have a draft pick the year after that because of the Kessel trade, which I'm sure you've heard about.
Yes, I have heard about that once or twice. it goes forward, Wilson to Carlisle, to Horacek, to Babcock, to where we are today. Sheldon Keefe. It's been quite a little run, but the Maple Leafs, I think, you know, looking back at it, if you're GMing that team and you are staring down a lockout and you're staring down there's going to be a salary cap, hell yeah, trade for Brian Leetch. Hell yeah, trade for Ron Francis. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Just, I can't believe they were this bad for so long and didn't have, like, draft picks.
I know
that it was trades and stuff, but it's just, like, it's so bad.
It's too bad. I think there should be no salary cap for the Maple Leafs. That's my...
I agree. Everyone else should have one but us.
They run the league. They're financing the whole league. They should be allowed to spend as much as they want on player salary.
Even though we kind of are now.
Anyway, that is it for your pre-lockout Leafs playoff run. I think safe to say for me, I think this 3-4 year run encapsulates the peak of my Maple Leafs fandom. I got hurt so bad by Jeremy Roenick. And then it was a lockout. And in that lockout year, but in my first year of college and then leading into my second year, I really fell in love with the NBA as the whole. Court surfing was a thing you could do. Mm-hmm. And NBA TV was a channel and you could watch out of market games. I really think 2005, you know, you have LeBron coming into his own and the league was really fun. I think that is when the Maple Leafs started to fall down my sort of personal interest rankings and the NBA in general really jumped up.
Yeah, I think I always had a bit more of NBA before that as well, but I definitely, like, the lockout didn't kill my interest in hockey by any means, but like, it definitely knocked it down the pecking order quite significantly, and it's still never really recovered from it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, we still support the Maple Leafs, and if they were to make a playoff run, I'd obviously be there with bells on, but, like, my day-to-day interest in the Leafs will never be as high as it was in these 3-4 years.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, basketball was always there. I don't mean to just downplay that I didn't love basketball as a kid, but
no.
When it was the only sport and like we had a house of six and one of my roommates, my roommate Andy at the time, 6'7", was on our college basketball team and we played basketball in the gym every day. So it was like, it went from like a 7 to a 10 basically is whereas hockey went from like an 8 to a 5, I think is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Anyway, that's it for another edition of Sportsfeld Storytime. An excellent trip down memory lane to the pre-lockout Maple Leafs. If you have an idea for something we should talk about, whether it be a game or a series, or hell, I'll talk about just a year of a team. You give us anything. I'm happy to look back. We have plenty left uncovered. We hope you have enjoyed coming along for the ride. We thank Sean and Clay for giving us the platform and the ability to do this. We thank Dylan for all the awesome edits, all the great stuff, and all the hard work that goes into this series. And most of all, we thank you for listening to Sportsfeld Storytime.
It is my somber duty to report that at today's meeting, the NHL Board of Governors unanimously reconfirmed that NHL teams will not play at the expiration of the CBA until we have a new system which fixes the economic problems facing our game.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.